next on Packers Today.
Under pressure, Rodgers throws the middle, and it's intercepted, and that's the ball game.
The Packers haven't played to their standard offensively or defensively the last 2 weeks. Will a four-game stretch within the division provide the spark that ignites the championship fire? Plus,
I think it's definitely going to be special for him. I know, obviously, the community of Green Bay has been tremendous to him and to our family.
Like father, like son, Packers director of player personnel Elliot Wolf sits down with Larry McCarron to discuss what his father's Hall of Fame career means to him. And later, a salute to service. Some former Packer greats accompany Wisconsin war veterans on a special trip to the nation's capital. Packers Today, presented by Verizon, starts right now.
You know, we have high expectations, so we can't accept the way we've been playing.
You got to throw out the stats and the records when you're playing division games.
We got to play Packer football and do what we do.
Thank you for joining Larry and I on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. Larry, the Packers have taken it on the chin the past 2 weeks. They've really struggled to find consistency on both sides of the ball. But I will say this, they showed fight late in the game against Carolina. Could they use that as a springboard this week?
I would hope so. I think it was encouraging that even though it seemingly at halftime all was lost, that they came back, got something going both offensively and defensively, made some key plays. So let's see what happens today.
With Mike McCarthy, it always starts with running the football. And through the first 8 games, Eddie Lacy's averaging just 38 yards a game. So coach made a big move this week.
Yeah, he announced that James Starks was his number one running back. And if you look at the situation, 2 of the last 3 games, James has had twice as many carries as Eddie. So Mike's statement wasn't necessarily a revelation. That's kind of what was going on the field. But I rarely heard him say something that bluntly. And I think it was a message, a tip of the hat to what James Starks has done, and a message to Eddie Lacy that it is a performance-based industry, but I don't think we've seen the last of Eddie Lacy. He's still a terrific player.
No reason for Coach to sugarcoat it, huh?
No, not at all.
Well, Aaron Rodgers has been sacked 19 times and hit 44 times through the season's first 8 games. There are many factors that can contribute to those numbers, but do you see any concern with the guys up front?
Honestly, I don't. I think it's a talented group. They're the right combination of ability and attitude. I saw something in the Panther game I have not seen before, and that was mental errors up front, confusion as to who had who. And if you don't know who you have, you're beat before the play begins. But that's a mental thing, easily corrected. That problem can be solved, while if you have a talent issue, you're in trouble.
Defensively speaking, I think everyone can admit we've been very spoiled the first part of the season. A 7-sack performance against Kansas City, followed up by 6 sacks against the 49ers. The last 2 weeks, the Packers have been shut out.
Yeah, not good. And certainly pass rush, to a large extent, boils down to winning your one-on-one matchups. However, if you look at game conditions, the Packers were trailing in the last 2 games. So teams were two-dimensional offensively. They didn't have to throw the ball. They could run it. They could throw it. And when you have situations like that, a defensive lineman or a linebacker cannot pin their ears back, get in that sprinter stance and really go after the quarterback. Sometimes they got to squat down and play that run, and it takes an edge off the pass rush.
Here we are, week 10, facing the Lions at home at Lambeau Field. Larry breaks it down in this week's scouting report, presented by the Better Business Bureau.
Watch Calvin, well covered. He goes up. He makes the catch. Are you kidding me? Oh, Megatron did it again.
The Lions' best player, Calvin Johnson, who's as big as a tight end but runs like a scat back. 6'5", 237, and 4.35 speed make him an elite wide receiver.
You see the continuous amount of freakish athletes that come in the league each and every year, and at the same time, he's still at the top of that bunch.
Defensive end Ziggy Ansah may not be elite, but he's pretty darn good. He'll move around on the line of scrimmage, but home base is right across from David Bakhtiari.
Their record is 1-7, but like you just said, you know, I have to primarily go against the guy, Ziggy Ansah. Last time I checked, his record is 1-7. He's got 7 sacks. He's a good player.
But like the man said, the Lions are 1-7, and there are reasons for that. Not much of an offensive line has led to not much of a running game and not much protection for Matthew Stafford. Not surprisingly, he's thrown 11 interceptions.
Throws over the middle. It's going to be intercepted. It was thrown right to the defenders.
Defensively, Ndamukong Suh is gone, and Detroit really misses linebacker DeAndre Levy, a former Badger who's injured and out.
We got to prepare the way just like they was 8-0, and we got to go out there. Most of all, we got to play good football, man. Forget the other team. We got to play Packer football and do what we do.
This game is about the team in the mirror who might take a lesson from a couple of its predecessors. The 96 Super Bowl Packers lost 2 straight before righting their ship. And the 2010 Super Bowl champions, they lost 3 of 4 at one point. Bumps in the road happen. Moving past them is the key.
I think we have to focus on the task at hand and just get back on the winning track. You know, there's 2 losses around here. It feels like, you know, like you're 0-8. It has us motivated to play better, definitely.
Larry, what I got from those statistics you were saying, are you calling a Super Bowl championship?
Super Bowl hopes, dreams, and aspirations still alive in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Thank you.
Coming up next on Packers Today.
I actually broke down crying. It was just so special knowing what it meant to him.
Larry sits down with the Packers' director of player personnel, Elliot Wolf, to talk about his father's recent induction to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And later, a special green and gold tribute for Wisconsin veterans.
It's just a special day. It's one that I'll remember for a long, long time.
Packers Today, we'll be right back.
First of all, it's remarkable that a person like myself is considered a Hall of Famer. I mean, there are so many people that have played such an important role in the history of the National Football League. When it happens, you can't believe it. My feet still aren't totally on the ground yet because of this. I'm delighted to be a part of it. There are a lot of people probably should be in there instead of me, but I'll take it.
Ron's Hall of Fame career spanned nearly 4 decades and began as a scout with the Oakland Raiders back in 1963. Among his many successes, Ron won 3 world championships. The first 2 came while working for the Raiders, the last with Green Bay after he executed one of the most electrifying turnarounds in NFL history. His now famous quote, "I was brought here to win." And Ron did just that. In his 9 seasons as general manager, the Packers had a 92-52 regular season record and made 6 consecutive playoff appearances. Larry?
During those 9 seasons, Ron would sometimes bring his young son to work with him, and a career in scouting and talent evaluation was born. Today, Elliot Wolf is the Packers director of player personnel, and he remembers the day his dad was voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
He was supposed to hear something at 5 o'clock, doesn't hear anything. 5:30 rolls around, doesn't hear anything. And then I get a call from my mom at about 5:50, and, you know, he got in. I went outside, you know, I took the dog out, and I actually broke down crying. It was just so special. Knowing what it meant to him more than anything.
Ted Thompson said, "This probably means more to Ron than anybody." Why do you think that is?
I think just his appreciation for the history of the game. He still, as a hobby, watches you know, stuff from 1940s NFL. And when he was a little kid, I mean, I don't know how he remembers any of the players, but his appreciation for the history of the game and the guys that got in the Hall of Fame.
And now Ron Wolf is one of them. And his induction will be celebrated with a halftime ceremony at Lambeau Field, the site of what he calls his best moment as the architect of the Packers' return to glory.
Man, we've waited a long time, folks. The Packers are on their way to New Orleans for Super Bowl 31.
I think that's why that NFC Championship game was so special to him, is because it was in front of the true diehard Packer fans.
Hey, Green Bay, how about this? Guess where we're going?
I think it's definitely going to be special for him. I know, obviously, the community of Green Bay has been tremendous to him and to our family, and you know, it still is with me still living here.
Living and working here as the Packers' director of player personnel, Elliott Wolf has been preparing for that role since the age of 10, when he began sitting in on film sessions with his father. That was all it took for him to know what he wanted to do.
The first documented moment that I can remember, fifth grade graduation, we had to put what we wanted to be when we grew up, and I put NFL scout. And I've been, you know, definitely fortunate enough to live my dream.
Elliott, do you ever see your dad in the way you go about your business? I mean, those are some inherited qualities there.
Yeah, really, the honesty. You know, not sugarcoating things when they don't need to be sugarcoated. He was raised that way, and he's always prided himself on being honest, and I try to do the same thing.
A winning formula then, and a winning formula now.
After you guys won the Super Bowl in Dallas, it was the morning after, you know, people are milling around the lobby and stuff like that, and I was sitting on a couch talking with your dad, and you walked by, and he goes, and he points at you, and he, I know he's my son, but I'm really proud of him.
Yeah, yeah, and any time. He's not the most in touch with his feelings guy, so any time he says something like that, it means a lot, because you can tell it's not as easy for him to say. So the few instances that he says it really mean a lot to me.
And Lauren, the Wolf legacy continues in Green Bay. And the thing about Ron, he wasn't just an extraordinary evaluator. He was also a leader, and he led the Packers to football's promised land.
And this afternoon, the Packers will pay tribute to Ron's Hall of Fame career during a ceremony at halftime, which includes unveiling his name in the Ring of Honor on the facade inside Lambeau Field. And I think it'll be so great for everyone to have Ron back home here at Lambeau Field.
People are going to go nuts.
Still to come?
It can't help but move you into what it all took to have what we have.
These guys are the real heroes of this country.
Legends amongst legends. Packers greats accompany war veterans to the nation's capital to commemorate their service to our country. Thank you for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon. In conjunction with the NFL-wide salute to service, the Packers will pay tribute to veterans at today's game. Many activities, both on and off the field, will be dedicated to showing appreciation to the United States military. Senior writer Mike Spofford joins us now to share a story about a recent honor flight to Washington, D.C., involving some Packer greats.
Yeah, Lauren, the latest rendition of Honor Flight was called the Green and Gold Flight, and it had four Lombardi-era Packers accompany more than 70 World War II and Korean War veterans to Washington, D.C. And it was a day filled with a lot of emotion, a lot of pride, respect, and mutual admiration.
When the Green and Gold Flight touched down in the nation's capital, the veterans and former Packers were greeted with a hero's welcome. At the first stop, the majestic World War II Memorial, emotions immediately took over, seeing every state in the Union represented and each gold star signifying 100 ultimate sacrifices established instant perspective.
It is extremely moving for a lot of reasons. Reason number one, they thought they were forgotten. They thought that their service and their sacrifice was just in the history books. They come out here and they realize personally how much their service meant to this entire nation.
Earl Morse founded Honor Flight as a pilot and physician's assistant at a VA clinic in Ohio. And in this year of the 50th Super Bowl, having Super Bowl I alumni joining the program elevated the celebration.
I never thought I would see this. We have legends amongst our legends. And there is such a mutual admiration.
It's hard to describe. One of the things that I see in these men, there's a lot of humility.
It makes your heart beat a little faster when you see these guys, how much pride they have. These guys are the real heroes of this country.
Many veterans, including Robert Wright, remembered watching the Packers on the gridiron, and to reminisce with Lombardi-era players about football helped balance out the other emotions of the day.
I told Zeke that I was set right in the stands on that ice ball when Bart Starr got the last touchdown and won the ice ball game. I was right there in front when he went over.
Most of the Honor Flight veterans were from the Korean War era, and to them, that memorial looked like a moment of their past frozen in time. The memories flooded back of their service to the country.
You go along and you don't really think that much about it, but when you get to see these memorials firsthand, it can't help but move you into what it all took to have what we have in this country.
The tour of D.C. also included stops at the Vietnam Wall and Arlington National Cemetery to witness the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Guards! Halt! Halt! On!
The tributes to the veterans were ongoing throughout the day. One came at the Air Force Memorial as they were treated to a performance by an Honor Guard drill team and its synchronized movements with bayonet-topped M1 Garand rifles, one of which the Packer greats actually autographed for a young soldier.
That was special, wasn't it? You know, he took the stock apart, we autographed the inside of it. Never in my life. I've autographed some different things, but this is really something.
The day concluded with perhaps the most fitting tribute. The veterans returned home to the warm embrace of family and friends. It was a memorable excursion for all involved, Packers included.
It's like being at the Super Bowl and the Jets fly over because it's a very special moment.
That was an absolutely beautiful story, but I want to know, it seemed like a lot of emotion was involved. To you, what was the most moving part of the day?
Yeah, it really was seeing the emotions on the faces of the veterans when they see these memorials. And you know, every veteran has a story about their own service, and they may have been thinking about their service time and the sacrifice they made being away from family, being overseas, or soldiers that they served with who weren't able to make it back, or friends of theirs who weren't able to come to the memorial with them. So a lot of emotions wrapped up in the day.
Honor Flight is such a tremendous program. Thank you so much, Mike. Larry and I will be back after this timeout with some final thoughts on Detroit, including a few key matchups to watch during today's game. We'll be right back.
70,000 plus on their feet.
When you enter this stadium, you know you have a job.
It would be a good time to get loud, Lambo.
Here, your voice matters. Let's get to it. Let's get loud, Lambeau.
The Packers are happy to be back home and especially a noon game. But Larry, this is not going to be a walk in the park because the Packers do have some adjustments to make. What kind of head-to-head matchups are you going to be looking for?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind about this game, I was part of a lot of bad football teams. The Lions are not going to come into Lambeau Field and lay down. I mean, they've got pride. They want to salvage something. They'll come in and play hard. It's up to the Packers to go out and play well. As far as matchups go, we talked earlier about Calvin Johnson and Ziggy Ansah and David Bakhtiari. The thing I'd like to see, there's an opportunity here for our defensive front seven to dominate. The Lions have issues up front. And we've talked about this before, but we really haven't gone out and dominated, folks. Let's dominate this one.
I think the Packers are hungry and they're angry. A good combination to see what they all can produce today. Thank you, Larry. Well, be sure to check out Packers.com immediately following the game. We'll live stream press conferences, feature Larry's one-on-one with Coach McCarthy. Plus, we'll have your game rewind and all the coverage from the locker room. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. Thanks for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.